While cooking this week, I watched an episode of the TV show Supergirl. In it, a Martian father with advancing Alzheimer's passes on all his memories and the memories of his people's origin and history to his adult son in a ceremony before he is about to die. The son will inherit his father's cumulative wisdom, lessons learned after living a long life of successes and making mistakes, and his desire to honor those who came before him before he takes his leave. I am as surprised as you are that Supergirl would end up in the opening to my last Friday night sermon as your senior rabbi this Shabbat. But I was moved by the ceremony and the love that was shared l'dor v'dor in this Martian moment on Earth. It was yet another reminder that wherever we are from, we have a need to pass on what we know so that our life's lessons are not in vain. In college, long before I had children, I remember reading a Cairo Geniza text about a Jewish single mother from the 11th and 12th century, who was a banker and broker. I fell in love with her over the centuries for her spunk and her courageous feminism. But what was most touching was the letter she left her son, which had been preserved underneath the bima in the synagogue in Cairo in Fustat. It was a Jewish ethical will, encouraging him to continue his religious learning and asking him to lead a Jewish and moral life. According to one of the leading experts on Jewish ethical wills, Dr. Nathaniel Stamfer of Blessed Memory, and I quote, "The tradition of bequeathing a spiritual legacy, either in the form of a codicil to a conventional will or as a separate document, has its roots in the Bible and Talmud," unquote. These ethical wills were sometimes shared in life and other times shared after someone died. There is also a history of rabbinical ethical wills, which were not for families alone, but for congregations, other rabbis and students of Torah, scholars, and all Jews. Some of those rabbinical ethical wills got very long. I don't know why. Stamfer cites as an example Reb Shmuel Tfilinsky's ethical will, which was 45 pages long. Others have been brief but memorable and quotable. In the Talmud Brachot 28b, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus said to his disciples, "Pay attention to the honor of your colleagues. Don't allow your children to merely learn by memorizing. Let them sit at the knees of wise scholars. And when you pray, know before whom you stand." As Rabbi Harold Kushner is quoted as saying, "The Jewish ethical will is bequeathing our wisdom to our descendants, even as we bequeath to them our hard-earned material assets." In recent decades, there have been many how-to efforts to enable Jews to write their own ethical wills and outlines presented for what one might include: formative events in one's life, important lessons one has learned, people who have been a positive influence, favorite possessions, favorite stories and memories, favorite causes and concerns, mistakes made, scriptural passages important to the person who is writing, burial instructions, religious instructions and accounts of faith, summing up of one's life and legacy, forgiveness seeking, sharing of love and affection while there is still time, and Jewish values to live by. So tonight, I have decided to offer you, my beloved congregants, an ethical will as my parting message. Dearest ones, Oh, my goodness. These 32 years as your rabbi have been the best of my life. Together with you, I have been able to do what few rabbis have ever done, to create an ideal congregation based on the values of Torah, filled with the presence of God, and thriving spiritually, communally, financially, and administratively. I have spent half of my life here, visioning and fashioning this thriving Reform Jewish temple in what used to be the wilderness of Fairfax Station and is now on the Reform Jewish map around the world. Over these years, I raised my children and yours, and over time, many people have come to ask, WWRPD, what would Rabbi Perlin do? So as I give you this ethical will, I want to share some of the lessons and experiences of my life that I treasure and value as I look back on my soon-to-be 62 years of life. My earliest memory of a God experience was one cool upstate New York Shabbat morning service at Camp Ramah in Glens Bay in the summer of 1969. It was the first moment where I was certain that I felt the presence of God. And from that moment on, my life was transformed. I remember the way the sunlight flowed through the trees like liquid light, illuminating every green leaf in our outdoor sanctuary. I go back to that moment when I want to touch the innocence of my faith and my earliest recollections of God. I'm sure there were hundreds of campers there, but in my memory, there is only silence, summertime, me, and God. I believe that it was that moment that shaped my spiritual self, and it is that spiritual self, all grown up, and now soon to be your founding Rabbi Emerita, that I will take with me into retirement. Lesson number one, find your quiet place that anchors your life and your faith, and hold on to it at your core. As I look back on my life and career as a rabbi, I have said many times that the thing I want to be remembered for is that I sat with people one at a time, offering counseling, a safe place to share, or cry, or explore. I received a beautiful thank you letter this week that confirmed what I had already written in an early draft of this sermon. The letter said, and I quote, "To me, your ability to connect one-on-one with hundreds of TBS congregants is the hallmark of your rabbinate, even above your scholarship and preaching," unquote. It was nice to have this sermon validated even before I delivered it. When you are with someone, be there completely. No cell phone, no distractions, no other thoughts, no multitasking. People know when you are holding back, and relationships suffer. Lesson number two, be present for others with 100% of your being. Life is too short to give only part of yourself. I was thrilled when Sheldon Lowe wrote the song for my retirement based on the verse from the Shema, Vishinantam Livanecha, and you shall teach your sons, literally, children more politically correct. Teaching my two sons about life and love, family and faith, values and what to value, has been one of the greatest privileges of my life. When TBS took the name B'nai Shalom, even before I signed on to become the rabbi, I broadened my passion for this quote and took upon myself as my life's work to teach our children. All of you and your children, wherever we were together. I look out tonight and see some of those kids who are now grown-ups, and some of those kids who were grown-ups who now have kids of their own. It feels wonderful. Last week we sang Debbie Friedman's "And the Youth Shall See Visions," and in the song's refrain it says, "I'll have to teach them what I've learned so they will come to know." Sharing what we know is a gift of love and a legacy. Lesson number 3, make your life a lesson in living and giving. Share what you have learned with others generously. I have been fascinated to read and hear which lessons and sermons have meant the most to our members over the years. Many in our community and extended community remember things that I had long forgotten. I was at a funeral earlier this week. A member of Abiding Presence came up to me and said, "You're the funniest rabbi I've ever met. You're the only rabbi I've ever met." I said, "I remember a Thanksgiving where Pastor Bailey handed you the plate, and you had all this money in the plate, and you just looked at him and said, 'Am I supposed to go to Nordstrom's now?'" I don't remember that. But he did. One person this past week wrote about a high holiday sermon I gave that focused on 4 phrases in a book that I had to be reminded about by Dr. Ira Byock, The 4 Things That Matter Most, a book about living. Please forgive me. I forgive you. Thank you. I love you. I see head shaking. Thank you, Pam. Lesson number 4, say you are sorry when you hurt people. Apologies are the first step to forgiveness in Judaism. Not being able to say you are sorry damages relationships, often beyond repair. And try to forgive if you can. Always say thank you, preferably in person or with a handwritten note. Tell people you love them often. You might never get a chance to say it if you don't say it now. Life is all about learning. We study history and preserve heritage, but it is okay to ask for help, and it is okay to acknowledge that you don't possess an answer to every question. I have tried to have thoughtful answers for all of your questions over the years, but I have also known that saying that I don't know is as important as saying that I do. Lesson number 5, never be afraid to say, "I don't know." It keeps you humble. Perhaps the most important thing I have tried to do throughout my life is lesson number 6, live every day as if it were your last. Life is fragile. We never know when the conversation we have will be our last. Make every minute count. Making the most of every single day and every single moment to care, to share, to do, to make a difference, changes the way you live and the way you love. My husband Gary is my role model. He is the smartest, wisest, and without a doubt, the nicest human being I have ever known. So much of the person I became was a credit to him and how he lived his life. When Gary was asked to give the commencement address for Jonah's high school graduation from TJ, he chose 6 words to offer the graduates. Our sons have lived by these 6 words ever since, and so have we. And occasionally we meet someone on the street or in a store in Burke who takes the time to thank him and quotes these 6 words to him with great appreciation. Lesson number 7, be bold, be patient, be generous. That was Gary's ethical will to the class of 2003 and for our family. I can often be bold, or you'll be surprised to know it surprises me. I may not always be patient, but I live to be generous each day. I have a book entitled Six Word Memoirs on Jewish Life, which was a gift from the PJ Library. Sharon Kaufman, our youth director, has done this activity with our youth groupers too. You summarize your life in six words. Think about it for a minute. I was thinking about it on my drive home on Tuesday night. My six words to you upon my retirement are: live your values, keep your promises. Years ago, I gave a sermon in which I wrote my essay for the national This I Believe NPR event, originally started by Edward R. Murrow for CBS in 1951. I have always seemed too busy to send it in, but I guess I'm going to have a little bit more time on my hands now. But for that High Holy Days, I wanted everyone to know what I believed. So I wrote a sermon entitled, I Believe in Promises. The centerpiece to a life of values and living with integrity is being a person of your word, someone trustworthy in word and deed. I am very glad at this late age in my life to say I have never made a promise that I did not keep. Long after I am gone, I pray that TBS and its members live the values we all treasure here in this synagogue. I believe that the synagogue is the institution of Jewish survival over the centuries. It is in the synagogue that community is created, Torah is taught, children are raised, and Jews are born and die. Lesson number 9. Always belong to and support synagogues where your values are represented and lived. Given time and resources as much as you can. And even if you don't make the most of the experience, stay a member. Remember that you are making Judaism possible for others. I am so proud that these 12 tapestries embody so much more than the 12 months of the Jewish calendar. They recognize as a congregation and values that I personally hold dear. Just look at that first tapestry all the way in the back with the rainbow in it. It came to us in its first iteration, all men with yarmulkes and tallises, praying at the wall in Jerusalem. And I said, no way. We sent it back and we asked for men and women and children with and without kippot and talit, praying at the wall. It represents our value of seeing the world it is and wanting to transform it into the world as it should be. The second tapestry embraces the Jewish value of hachnasat orchim, welcoming the stranger, not just to our congregation or Judaism, but to our country and to our community, for we were strangers in many strange lands, and we know what it is like to be the other. In our tapestry, look at it. Families stay together as they are welcomed under the talit and sukkah of peace and caring. And then the next tapestry. I know we don't grow bananas in Virginia. Somebody's going to say, what was she thinking? The Israeli artist put it in and we didn't have the heart to tell them to take it out. As you all know, feeding the hungry mazon is a passion for me and has become a core value of our synagogue's identity. Our third tapestry for Kislev reminds us to always feed the hungry and to value hoda'ah, an attitude of gratitude. With Rabbi Rappaport here, you don't need to worry about that. You'll be reminded every week. Our next tapestry, my favorite, reminds us of the centrality of the synagogue in Jewish life and the fact that our homes are also called a mikdash ma'at, a small sanctuary. Remember that your home is a place for God where we need to speak to each other kindly and gently. I can't go through all the tapestries and all the values tonight, but just three more. Above all, all else, I wanted to make Judaism vital, fun, energizing, engaging for young and old. Underscore old. Did you see how many old people were jumping around for Vishamru? So look at this tapestry for Adar, and you'll see Purim, but it's there to remind you. Live joyously Jewish. There are enough kvetchy Jews out there. Our ER tapestry number 8, with the Israeli flag, reminds us of the Jewish imperative, Ahavat Yisrael, love for Israel. We can be patriotically American and ardently Zionist at the same time. Today, our love for Israel must be centered on working tirelessly for her to be a democratic and Jewishly pluralistic state. Our Reform congregations there and our Reform causes there need us. We must not abandon them. Reform Judaism needs us everywhere, and that is the number one value that Gary and I will be pursuing in the coming years. So many values, so little time. Our last tapestry in the corner by Frank Cohn and his video camera. Our last tapestry, symbolic of our acceptance of all kinds of homes and families and marriages since our inception, is dedicated to peace in the home and love. These two values, peace in the home and love, are the core of my being and my personal life. It all begins and ends with love. Lesson number 10. Love unconditionally. Love God with all of your heart and soul and might, or love the idea of God with all of your heart and soul and might. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love is not an if-then proposition. Love is about giving everything and accepting another without a scorecard. Let us teach our children that a world of love transcends all else. I have loved you with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my might. Or the other translation, with all my mind, with all my strength, with all my being. Love each other as I have loved you. This is my ethical will for you, TBS, with all my love.